Kilo Delta 8, Julius Alpha Delta, Echo Link check.
Trying to think of a Gump-ism to open up this morning with, and I'm drawing a blank. I think that'll do. Like, I know a bunch of them. The only one I know for sure is, you know, life is like a box of chocolates, but, what was that? Mama said there was a bunch of those. I don't know. Good morning. Last day of the week. Good morning. Another one down. I would have settled for TGIF. Beautiful day. Thank God it's FU. We have a saying around the office, and it's effing Friday. Yeah, that's a classic. But, yeah. Maybe TGIF is not the right one. Anything we've got in it, nah. I'm sorry, I'm off. Even though he did wake me up this morning. Gentlemen, have a blessed day. Every radar CY. Your God is your shrunken prostate? There's still no update on that new Kenwood mobile that I've been patiently waiting for. I mean, oh my God, that's right. What the heck's up with that? That thing has been... Ooh, they changed the lane that's closed on DeQuinter north of 15th. Now we got to do a barrel slalom to get over into the right lane. Okay, anyhow, that's been a year that's been in the works, hasn't it? I've had my pre-order in for almost a year, I believe. They said summer of 25, we're a month away from fall. So, that tells me we might not be getting it this year. Okay, we'll leave some room for Donald there. That's strange. There usually there's some sort of word that it's in testing or you know, it's been submitted for type acceptance or of course there's not type acceptance on ham radios, but yeah, that's interesting. I'm just wondering, they should at least somewhere, there should be some news on its progress to product development, you know, product introduction. I think he was
a high buy this morning. But yeah, you would think there'd be some news of it. I think they had a functioning one at Dayton. I could be totally wrong. I don't know. When I placed the pre-order, I did not have any hope or expectations that it would be released by the time they said it would be, because when they released it, they didn't even have a working unit. They had a dummy unit with an LED light in it.
There was a company, you'd know them if I heard it, but they introduced several years ago now. They said they were going to come out with a all-mode UHF radio, all-digital mode. And they even had one on display at Dayton. And everybody was all, like, excited and all that stuff. And that thing never materialized.
course, it wasn't like Kenwood. You know, Kenwood said they're going to introduce it. They're going to. But you know, could be delayed, obviously. Who was that? I can't remember. It was one of those like third-party radio manufacturers. You know, they were. You didn't really associate them with radios as much as like nodes and things like that. They sold a couple of different radios. Yeah, see how the memory is. I think I've heard rumors of that too. I don't know. I don't know if that'll ever happen. If it does, it'd be great. But at the same time, not a big digital guy, so it doesn't affect me any. Which I don't even know why I want this Kenwood, because it's a tri-bander. Well, there's no 220 around here, and then I don't really do D-Star because there's no D-Star around here. I don't do APRS, so it's like, why am I waiting for this thing? Because it's a Kenwood, it'll be the absolute pinnacle of implementation of last year's design. I really just want to match my 75, and then I think I'll be good. But still no complaints about the 150. This thing's been solid for what I use it for, the morning and afternoon commutes, and it flips through about four or five channels. Couldn't ask for anything more. But anyway, that Gen 10, man, that thing's sweet. That is not at all what I thought it was going to look like. Yeah, I mean, it does the job exactly as advertised. I just think I'd be a little disappointed if I paid the full price. I got the Extreme, the Gen 10 Extreme. All I can tell the difference is the canvas is a little heavier as you go from the regular to the plus to the Extreme, and then they warrant it 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. Other than that, I don't think there's any difference. And, the price for the Extreme is like, you know, it's $190, I think it is. So it's just, I think I'd be a little disappointed if I spent that kind of money. But keep your eyes peeled. Now, they sell two. They, in addition to having the three, you know, the Gen 10, the Gen 10 Plus, and the Gen 10 Extreme, they sell a regular and an XL. Now, you can go right to their website, and you can just key in your make and model, and they'll tell you exactly which one is for your particular generator set, and then that's what you keep your eyes peeled for. There is a guy that's got an XL for sale for like $85 on the marketplace, and I asked him if he'd take $75, and he wouldn't budge. But it's an XL, so it's too big for my generator, so probably might be too big for yours as well.
I'll have to wheel mine out this weekend and get the make and model. I still don't remember. I know it's a 75. See, I say that. I want to say it's a 7,500 watt. Yeah, it's got to be a 7,500 watt. But, yeah, no, I'm going to poke around. But, yeah, if it's too big for yours, it'll be too big for mine. So I plan on cleaning out the garage this weekend. I think we're supposed to get rain 4 or 5 days next week, they say. Temps are dropping back into the low 80s, low high 70s. So I'm going to try to get the seed in the ground and get my garage back. So I'll take a look at the Jenny and maybe pull it out and fire it up, because I haven't done that this summer. And do some shopping, because that thing is sweet, I'm not going to lie. And I do like that tan color.
Yeah, they got gray, black, and tan. I don't think I'd get the black because, if it's summer, if after a storm and it's really hot, you know, that black would probably get hot, absorbing heat from the sun. So winter, not such a problem. But anywho, they do leave the thing pretty open for, cooling purposes. That shroud in the back, you know, is optional. It just Velcros on. Its whole purpose is just to cover the outlets. The other thing I was going to mention is I was looking around, and
Gen 10 makes the exact same one, except for it's made by, you know, it's branded Champion. I've seen a, and it's yellow, and I've seen a blue one branded Westinghouse, and so there's a lot of them, you know, branded that look, you know, that are the same thing. So if you're looking, you know, you can expand your search a little bit there. And then, if you just go to Amazon and type in generator cover, generator Gen 10, there's a whole bunch of other options that look pretty interesting. A lot of them have like a flat top. They just kind of sit on the rails on the top, and they extend out beyond with some side curtains that can be lifted and dropped. They look intriguing, and the price is really good on some of them. Some of them are like $20-$30. So, I mean, I don't know, get what you pay for kind of an affair, but still, it's a pretty simple task. No, if I do it, I'm going to do the Gen 10. You've got me convinced. And I imagine the other rebranded ones or the manufacturer-branded ones are probably just the OEM Gen 10 rebranded. So that's what I'll be looking for, and I'm in no rush to buy it because, like I said, I've used that thing twice since I moved into this house. So it's not like it's a frequent occurrence where I'm like, man, I need to roll the Jenny out and get power up again. So I'll keep an eye out, get a good deal, and then just have it sitting with the generator. It sits in my garage next to the beer fridge with a cover on it, so I'll do the same with the Gen 10. I'll just put it right next to it. I imagine that thing packs down to pretty much nothing, right? Yeah, I just leave mine on, so I don't even take it off, but, I mean, you know, I've had it for a couple days, so what I do is pretty premature, but I believe I'm going to just leave it on. Here's a caveat that I didn't mention. So those brackets that come off the frame post, you're not going to be pulling those on and off. You know, they're kind of going to be there. And, you know, they're plastic, so if you got to finagle it back into a spot, you're going to lose some storage, you know, some ability to pack it tight because they stick out a little ways, not a ton, but a bit. And, you know, and then if you've got to finagle it back into a pretty tight area, you run the risk of, you know, hitting something and, you know, could you potentially snap one? I don't know, maybe. But, you know, they do stick out and they do add to its, you know, the amount of area it requires. So that's something to keep in mind. Noted. I wonder if there's any 3D print files out there for modification of that to where you can use different clamps or something along those lines, but I imagine, I mean, I've got plenty of room where it sits. It's not like I'm talking inches. It's just stuffed in the corner next to the mower and the fridge, so it's not a big deal if I lose a couple inches on it. Leave a little room in there in case anybody's joining the morning rush. Yeah, so you could take those on and off, right? I mean, it's just now if you just pull the tent and the rods, you know, or just the tent, it's pretty quick. But if you leave the brackets and the rods, then you might as well just leave the tent on it, serve as a cover. Because you can buy a skirt that goes all the way to the ground and goes all the way around, and then the whole thing serves as a cover. And all you got to do when you want to deploy it is pull that bottom skirt off. And but if you're just going to pull the tent top and leave the frame, then you didn't gain anything. And unless you want to set something on top of it, I don't know. And then if you're going to pull the frame, you know, you got the brackets to contend with, so you've gained some, but not much, you know, as far as footprint. You could move the brackets, right? But then, you know, when you want to deploy, you want to deploy quickly. And it would add a non-insignificant amount of time fiddling to get it back deployed if you pull the brackets. So, all right, anyhow, enough on all that.
NADBF. Once I get my shed or barn or whatever the hell we end up doing next year, that's probably what'll happen is it'll just sit with the cover on it with the skirts all the way down, and then when I need it, I'll wheel it out. But as of right now, I don't have that much room. I'd be afraid of the kids breaking the tent. But, yeah, anyway, I've been talking about generators all week.
Yep. Like I said, I used mine within a couple of days of buying it. That was kind of serendipitous. And then I used it one other time since then. So I've used it twice since I got it. And I haven't had it that long, a couple months. So, last time I think when I bought my last generator, I think I went a long time before I had to use it. You know, it gets to a point where you get frustrated. You're like, come on, lose power. I want to try this thing out, put it to the test. Now, you could just fire up your house on it on any given day, but you might do that just to run it. Make sure everything's tip-top, and you should do that, right? You should run your generator set at least, I would say, spring and fall or something, going in the winter, going in the summer. But not needing one, getting one and not needing one is better than not getting one and needing it. So there you go. You can always rest on that.
Yep, it's an insurance policy. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Well, when it comes to insurance, I'd rather not have it and not need it, but who's going to take that risk?
That, too. I really hate paying my insurance. Macomb Community College, there's a cop with a laser, FYI, just before Garfield.
City, county, or state?
What is that right there? I think that was a Clinton cop.
All right, then it's likely not a wolf pack, so probably just a onesie.
Yeah, I know you know a couple people, but I figured I'd give you a heads up.
Hey, you know as well as anybody, the trick to having knowing a guy is not going to the guy unless absolutely necessary. So you don't want to burn. You only get so many of those I know a guys in life. You don't want to burn one when you don't have to.
I am so stringent when I call in favors because of that. Because I've been on the other end of it, where I'm the guy they know, and it's like, well, how many times do I got to do this for you? So I've called, I got, fortunately, plenty of cop buddies, and I've only had to call one for a ticket that magically disappeared.
Yep, good to have those in your hip pocket, but you don't want to use them. Some people, they use them all the time. And, they wear out their welcome, I guess, but if I'm going to call in a favor, it's going to be, I'm going to try to exhaust every possible other means. It's got to be, I'm really stuck, it's really important, and I really can't get by it without calling in a favor. So, but that's just me. I probably don't call in one as often as I could, or I wouldn't say should, but as often as I could, but that's okay. I got through on my own.
Self-sufficiency is the most underrated attribute of life that most people don't have.
Back in my biker days, there was a guy that owned a bike shop that everybody used to go to and get parts and repairs and things like that. And I remember one time I needed a part, and Stumpy says, he says, you can owe me, and I said, no, he says, I got you, and he looks at me, and he just goes, you don't like owing people, do you? I looked at him, I said, no, I don't, Joe. He says, you know, he says, it's nothing personal. I just don't like that hanging over my head.
Yep, I'm the same way. I can't stand when people are like, don't worry about it. It's like, no, 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 no. Here you go. Here's some money or whatever the hell you need. I don't want that to be the I owe you one later.
New barista at the Starbucks, so. Boy, they just always got a new one. This must be a decent place to work. Or a lot of turnover. But I always see all the old ones. They're still in there. They just moved to a different area. So people tend to stay there.
Maybe they start out at the window, and as they gain some seniority, they move further inside.
Man, I'd say leave me at the window. If I had to make all them drinks when I hear people ordering, oh yeah, I don't know how the hell they do it.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I worked at Jimmy John's, and I had to learn the whole menu and remember what was on each sandwich and how they were made, and then it's really not that bad. But I know Starbucks is pretty damn extra with how many different ingredients and ways there are to make things.
And I don't know if it's true or not. I've been behind some people in line, and I don't remember anything too crazy, but I've seen some skits on, you know, or TV or some, you know, or you see in a movie, you know, somebody ordering some triple grande espresso macchiato upside down with a twist and two pumps, and, you know, and it's like, it's just ridiculous. And I think they're making fun of the whole process, but, you know, I think that actually happens. I can't actually say I've ever seen one that was too crazy, but, I did have one experience like that, but it wasn't at Starbucks. It was with somebody, a Taco Bell order of all things. But yeah, you see some of the crazy things that they depict on TV, and it's like, you know, do people actually do that? I'd be embarrassed to order something like that.
When I go out to lunch with my counterpart and he orders stuff and it says no lettuce, I'm like, what are you, five? I don't want to modify anything.
I know, right? It's like, I'm the same way. Now, you know, you go to Burger King and it's like, have it your way. They pride themselves on that. So my wife, she doesn't like anything on her burgers. And just mustard, you know, maybe lettuce. That's about the only thing. But mustard for sure is it. Cheese and mustard. So cheeseburgers with mustard. And I think, man, you're missing out. There's so much more. You know, we go to a place like Five Guys, and she'll, you know, she'll get her cheeseburger with mustard. And I'm like, you're paying for the garden salad they put on top of it.
Sounds good. I haven't had that in a while. I do keep seeing Five Guy ads on Facebook, though. I don't know if you see the same one, but they do not look appealing at all. It's like it looks like it's not a cooked burger they're assembling. I don't know if I just haven't paid attention to what they're trying to advertise, but I haven't had them in years.
They're pretty good. I don't go out of my way to get them, but every once in a while we'll go there, and it's all right. Not any great shake or anything, but what the hell's up with that? The electrical box out in front of our work is, all the covers are off of it, and all the wires are half hanging out. Were we hit by a copper thief, or? Oh, no, there's little orange flags all over by it. They must have been working on it.
That'd be a bad day. But good timing. I'm here as well, so I'm going to get inside, and maybe I'll catch you on my way out of here. Or this weekend. I don't know. Finally have a weekend to relax, but I will catch you later. Have a good day. NAPBF.
All right. I'm going to try to remember to, I think I kept a picture of the infamous Taco Bell order. I couldn't do it justice if I tried to remember it, recite it, so. But I took a picture. If I can find it, I'm going to send that over. You'll get a laugh out of it. All right. I'm heading in. Catch you later. Be safe. Have fun. It's Friday. It's effing Friday. W8FU.
W2BUT. W2BUT, KBSWR, on 3-1. W2BUT, KBSWR, on VHF.
Jeff Jeff, immediately.
W2PUT, KBSWR, and VHF.
PUT, KBSWR, UHF analog.
KBSWR, WTPUT.
Bacon in there with you, Dan, but I would say that's sounding pretty good.
Yeah, I could definitely carry on a conversation here, no problem. Just taking the back way around downtown over to 23 over by the Tractor Supply. But yeah, no, it's generally sounds okay here.
I'm not sure the antenna height on that one, but I know the receive is with the DMR, so it's supposed to be on the top UHF on the DMR. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and of course I can't answer that one for you. I have zero. Never did get to make it to that site. I think it. Well, we'll see how it sounds over by our place. I'm thinking that contention between the the one I set up and this one probably isn't going to be an issue.
Yeah, well, I don't know about Mac City, you know. kind of disappointing because it's VHF. You'd think it would have worked better than UHF, but I think that antenna, I don't know where the antenna's oriented on the tower either, so a lot of variables there. I'm wondering if we should retune them cans over to 1-1, put 3-1 on the extra two cans, and receive on top with 1-1. Wonder if we should reconfigure that if we stay there, or if we can stay there. Wonder if that'd be better.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I would mess with the tuning on those. Well, since we're tuned pretty well, man, they look really good on the analyzer. But yeah, I don't know what the sweep on the 1-1 antenna looks like. You know the two antennas that I swept, the one that the 3-1 is on, the sweep was pretty good. The one that we didn't use, it was definitely higher up, but it was the sweep was ugly.
Yeah, well, now I kind of got stuff set up and have to go back and see, but I'd have you do it, or you know, Paul or somebody, to that would gain us the height for the receiver on 3-1 and make it more omni because it's on top. I'm just wondering if you know, them cans adding that extra can into the receive side of the extra receive, if that would work. How many cans are in the receive side of 3-1 right now? Do you remember? Is it 2 or 3?
That's a 4 pack set of cans, so it's, you know, 2 transmit, 2 receive.
So that should work then. For a future thought.
Yeah, but that VHF is not as broad as UHF is. Not as easy to split a pair, or couple off of it, and with an adjacent frequency. The VHF stuff is a lot tighter. You know, you might gain some height, but what you gain, you may lose. So it's a balancing act.
Cams were set up for 2 receivers. Because it had 1 can and we added the extra can on the receive side. Is what I was talking about. I thought them cans were set up to do that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the ones that are on 1-1 right now. The ones on 3-1, yeah, it's 3 cans on either side. But that one that has the coupling to the second... For the second receiver right now, there's only 2 cans on there. There's 2 cans, the one that's, part of the duplexer. And then, the second bandpass that we added. It really needs to, if you were to pull the other, a 1-1 receiver off of that, you would need to add another can onto there because, going from up to 6.14, it was borderline. The notches on the 5.31 side weren't as deep as I would like. It really needs a third can, and that's significantly further away. If you were to do that, you would Yeah, that's not really going to work that way.
When you were in a low spot, because you started to get a little crackly. Well, that's what I was saying. Take them cans and put them on the top antenna. Put a third can in there. Use that for 1-1 transmit receive and 3-1 receive on the top antenna. And just add a third can in there to get the separation. Essentially, you wouldn't be losing any more than what you are now, because right now we're running three cans on a lower antenna, so.
Well, that would depend upon what the sweep on that antenna looks like. We kind of need to sweep that antenna that 1-1's on, because I really don't think that performs as good as it should. I wonder what that antenna looks like on a sweep. You know, height makes right, but if it's if there's damage to the antenna system, you know, going up higher but to a damaged system, you wind up with a net loss. I don't know, maybe there's nothing wrong with it, but it just feels like it should perform better than it does. And, you know, I did see one sweep that looked pretty sketchy on that tower.
So, I'm thinking there's a couple of factors there. One, I believe that there was a pre-selector that was the wrong band split on the 1-1. And I believe that the transmitter was on that antenna that you seen the bad sweep on. So I'm believing that that's, you know, the scenario when you, in the past year, the coverage has not been good. So it's all on a top antenna now. I'm curious to see what you think of 1-1 now. Without the pre-selector, and it's all on the top antenna. I believe I can give you a call over there too, Dan, if you have that one programmed in. W2PUT, KBSWR.
Yeah, I doubt you're hearing me. Kind of lost your repeater here.
Dan, try it again. I missed that.
Yeah, I think we're ran out of string here. Dropped off pretty quick after we got past Cordwood with WPP.
Can hear me or not, but I'll call you on 1-1 there. I believe it's linked in, so I'll give you a call over there if you want to jump over there and see if you can make that.
145-1-1, KBSW. 8 dB. AC8SRT, WATIJ. WAPIJ. K8ED, WATZIJ. Just wonder if you hear me on the repeater. Over. K8ED, WAPIJ. KADD WHVIG. Are you there, Mark? KABB.
Oh, it's gone.
Mass, just an imposter.
I meant to ask you, why did you decide to cause the tsunami and earthquakes while you were in Alaska?
Well, you know, you don't get there very often, so when you do, you want to take in the full experience. It was strange. We got the warning, and they said, oh, this could happen. And then shortly afterwards, they said, it's probably not coming this way, but everybody was kind of on edge anyway. It turned out to not be a big thing in that area, but was worrisome for a moment.
I was like, oh, look, I was in Alaska. Oh, look, earthquake and tsunamis.
Like I said, you want the full experience. Now, everything else was wonderful. Eagles and bears and whales and food and nature and all of those things. But no tsunamis.
Daylight for days, you know? All that sort of stuff, or did you wear a little eye mask and shut the blinds?
Well, actually, you know, by the end of July, it's not, you know, you've got, to, and also, we were not in northern Alaska. We were down in the cheap seats, the southern part along the coast. So it's not super daylighty all night there. You know, it got dark at night, and it got, now the sun comes up early, and the sun sets late, but it's not at all like a barrel, Alaska. That's the land of the midnight sun there. KABB.
Sorry, our old controller called, so I had to talk to her. I answered her questions really quickly, so I'm back. Sorry, Don. So, yes, there was some sunlight, some nighttime now, one by the end of, you said the end of July?
Yeah, where we were, it was far enough south where it's really not the land of the midnight sun. You know, we're obviously further north than we are here, but by the time you get to the end of July, you know, it's just the sun goes down late, it sets up early, but, sets late, it comes up early, but it's not bad. There was still nighttime. Sunsets were wonderful, of course, over the water to the west. But yeah, you know, nice to be back home and all that.
Well, was it everything you thought and then some, or kind of like a just check the box off kind of thing?
Well, a little of both. So, you know, when you're on a cruise ship, you know, it's a stunted land experience. You know, you're in port for a day, you know, or only so many hours, and so it's like, well, you get in and you do a few tourist things and you do an excursion, you know, to get away from the port, which is also a tourist thing. And then I got to be back by 10 o'clock because the boat leaves. So that was, within that context, yeah, it was what you expect. We did something similar about 10 years ago, and we liked it so much, we said we should do it again. And now that we've done it again, 10 years later, we're like, all right, we checked that box, we'll do something else next. If I was to go back to Alaska, I would not do a cruise, I would do something inland, and frankly, I'd be interested in taking a radio along. I did not take any radio gear to operate
but it might be fun to do that next time, you know, do a camping expedition or some sort of a land expedition and take a little radio and antenna and set up and find some find some part that never gets activated, you know what I mean?
Oh, what did he do?
Well, my little brother last year told me, he's like, I think I want to move to into the middle of nowhere in Alaska and become a hermit or something. Like, you're already a hermit up north. What, you know, you really want to go to Alaska and become a hermit? I'm like, how do you think your snake's going to survive up there in Alaska?
Well, that's a valid question. And also, you know, if you're already a hermit, you could be a hermit here a lot cheaper than you can be a hermit in Alaska. Depending on what your level of living off the land is, because everything up there is way more expensive, because everything has to be shipped in.
I was going to say, everything's got to be shipped in. But, okay, so you guys were on a cruise then, just up through the Aleutian Islands and all that up through there?
Yeah, not as far west as the Aleutians, you know, just sort of up the coast to Anchorage, and or not Anchorage, Juneau and Ketchikan and Victoria, B.C., which is kind of what we did 10 years ago, too. We did not get as far as Anchorage and Skagway, although they do cruises, longer cruises they'll do up that far. We did not. But it was nice. It was fun, relaxing, back to the grind.
Well, cool. I doubt I'm going to do anything like that. I can barely get away for a weekend, let alone. I honestly don't know what I would do. I take my 2 or 3 weeks at the end of the year, but I'm home normally. I don't know if I could ever, like, just go.
Yeah, we've done it a few times. This is probably the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the 5th cruise that we've done, and we like it. There's a certain hedonism to it, you know, because it's expensive and it's, you know, all the food you can eat, and you know, you can buy the booze package or you can not buy the booze package, depends on you. We always do because we do. And you know, you've got to have a certain amount of comfort with the carbon footprint of a cruise, which is horrible. You know, there's nothing eco-friendly about going on a cruise vacation. Or you can go camping up north and be very eco-friendly. But it's fine. The difficult time is you got to get there. You know, so it's not only is it the cruise, but then you got to fly there. You got to get a hotel and to handle all that stuff too. So I don't know. First world problems. It's a nice way to go. But we're gonna do something low key next time. And I don't know what. We're not really into camping. Camping is too, I don't know, just not really into camping. Maybe I should try it again. It's been a long time.
I mean, my idea of roughing it now has to include, you know, just some sort of LTE. Although it doesn't matter with my Starlink, it's not the end of the world now. That's my idea of camping now.
Well, I've always joked that if I'm at a hotel and the room service is closed, then now I'm camping. But for the cruise, you can buy a Wi-Fi package, you know, so you can be connected the whole time. And I purposely did not. I'm like, you know, I am not going to connect up. So when you go into port, you just connect up to, you know, AT&T on the shore, and you know, download your voice messages and post to Facebook. You know, saw whales, and then you're off radar again for 2 more days. So that's nice. It's just enough separation that you can kind of decompress a little bit, and it forces you to do the fun activities and relax. I read a couple of books, took a couple of magazines with me, you know, saw some good shows and stuff like that.
Well, cool. And it wasn't too cold, obviously, because it's summertime up there, so it's temperature-wise. You know, some people, when they do their vacations in the winter, would not go there. But they do their cruise, you know, down the Bahamas or something. At least it was somewhat warmer. At least that's what my Rick Senior, who's passed now, was one of my first big bosses. Him and Diane, they, you know, because they would go to Florida in November and then come back in March or April or May. First of May, they'd come back up here and. But they would always do cruises, but they would only do them, you know, in the wintertime. Just, they were big people going on cruises. Every other month they were taking a cruise somewhere. But and to the point of it was just to be on a boat, I guess.
Yeah, the cruises are, they're fun. The last 3 years we've done a Caribbean cruise. 3 years ago was down to South America, which was kind of cool. But yeah, I do those in the winter because it's equatorial there, so it's always warm. But it's cold up here. But yeah, you can't do Alaska in the winter. I mean, I suppose you can. I don't even know if they do cruises to Alaska in the winter. The coast is temperate because of the ocean current. It doesn't get real, real cold along the coast. It's actually classified as a rainforest. Because they get so much rain and they don't get a ton of snow. But I still don't, it'd be dark and it would still be cold, you know, I mean, it's still winter. I just don't know that there would be much of a draw. The weather when we were there was really nice. We got a couple of sunny days, which we learned was unusual because it's so rainy up there. But a sunny day is a nice day if you can get it. But the cruises from Florida, if you're already in Florida, cruise is a no-brainer. You take a taxi to the terminal and you get on the boat. But for up here, you got to fly down, so it adds a layer of complexity. K8BB.
W8FFM. And yeah, they were in, he had a place, West Palm Beach? I want to say it was somewhere in West Palm Beach. There was a community or trailer park or something down there in there that made the news one day because everybody was offered, you know, like a few million for their house, their trailers. Some developer came in, that was what their thing. And so they got a few million they were offered. It was on like Good Morning America and all that. Wherever that one was many years ago, that was where it was there. And I thought it was down by West Palm because I knew we had to fly into, not Vero Beach. No, we flew into West Palm and went, Boca, he was in Boca, sorry. We would always have to fly into West Palm. That was what it was. It was better to fly into West Palm and then drive down to Boca.
Yeah, your knowledge of Florida exceeds mine considerably. I know where Orlando is, because, you know, I've been there for Disneyland. The cruises that we've done have all sailed. The first time we went down, sailed out of Miami, and then the other one sailed out of Fort Lauderdale, which is just next door to Miami. Just with a much crappier airport. Miami Airport's not bad. Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Florida airport is awful. But anyway, and then 1 year we were down there, it was the same weekend as Hamtation. So I rented a car and I drove from Fort Lauderdale up to Orlando, which, like, oh, it's just a little, yeah, that's not an easy drive. Anyway, it's a boring drive. I drove up and I went to Hamtation and I met some guys that I knew there and we had lunch and wandered around the flea market for an hour and just saw some people that I had talked to on the radio and was not likely to meet easily. And then drove back to Fort Lauderdale and turned the car in and went on a cruise the next day. That was silly, but whatever. It's a story.
So I haven't physically been in Florida since 2007, and I was in Orlando for work for a week. I was down there for a week, and before that, when I was younger, we would go to Fort Myers. My mom's office had on Fort Myers Beach, they had a condo, and employees, you know, best employees got a week or two stay, you know, that you were allowed to use it for a week or two. So mom, a number of times, had that, so we stayed on the north side of the island, or the condo was there on the north side of the island on Fort Myers Beach, and so yeah, it was pretty cool. We would just go downstairs, and we were right on the beach on Fort Myers and like that, and then over to Sanibel and all that. So on the west side, I remember as a kid, I kind of liked it, but physically, I haven't been to Florida since 2007.
Yeah, I don't get excited about Florida, but it is a means to get on a cruise ship in the winter, so I'll do that. We've not vacationed there other than getting to Miami a few days ahead of time to do stuff, you know, prior to a cruise. But a lot of people that have a winter place down there, if you have an opportunity to get it, you can get away from the snow. You really only need about 4 months. You need to get out of Michigan for about 4 months. And it can really be quite nice. Lots of friends that have the means to do so make it work. I don't know if that's in my radar or not. Well, ask me in 15 years. But and the problem with me is I don't do well on the beach because I'm too fair-skinned. So if I think about the sun, I get burned. But otherwise, I like the warmth. I like being on the beach and... That would be cool. That would be nice. We didn't do stuff like that when I was a kid. We always went up north camping and roughing it. And I was just, eh. I think as a kid I enjoyed it, but looking back on it now, I'm like, I don't know. Did I really enjoy it, or was I just doing it because that's what we were doing?
Well, Michelle's older sister and her husband are, they've made their mind up. They're going to move to the Villages. So... In family chat, it's golf pictures of golf carts sometimes to look at, because Dan is 8 years older than Jen. So Jen, well, my wife's 45, and Jen's 40, so Jen would be 47 or 48. Dan's 8 years older than Jen. So, yeah, there's a minimum age to hit to get into the Villages, and Dan... Bear. He's hit it. So he's, you know, looking at that. But that's, so we know they're moving to the Villages. My wife's little sister is in Jacksonville. But yeah, I don't know. I told Michelle if we go anywhere, we're moving, we're going north, we're not going south.
Yeah, I remember Jackson now. That's toward the north on the coast. I performed took a bunch of kids down and we played in the halftime show for the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville some number of years ago. Well, I'm going to have to cut you loose. I got to meet a client here and I got to find my way back into the neighborhood and try not to think about Florida, except looking at the temperature here, it's going to be like Florida. So, hopefully your day is not too complicated work-wise. W8FFM KABB.
Sending out notices here and waiting for Amazon to deliver something, and once it gets here, I got to drive to a couple of offices and make deliveries. So, yeah. I'm already way over hours, and I'm still going to go even more. Have
fun. W8KLL in the mobile.
KE8VSI mobile. WABAP. What up, Eric? KE8VSI.
By the way, I'm getting ready to pass by Riverbends on 22 Mile, where we were yesterday. Ready to pass by. Man, what a difference it makes when you and you go out this time of the day, my God, there's like no traffic.
Oh yeah, it makes a big difference for that. Yeah, you'll zippy do right over here.
But instead of 2:30 or 3, the traffic will start blasting off around 2 o'clock on Friday. Everyone blows out early. Plus, there's probably 30% of the workforce that just blows off Friday, period. So, I mean, I think, you know, Fridays, have, well, I know Fridays have the least amount of traffic anyhow, but then we couple that with people leaving early.
Oh, yeah, when I was out doing those deliveries and stuff, I was on the road everywhere at all times, and, yeah, I could definitely tell you things definitely started early on Fridays.
And you probably noticed that Tuesday was probably the worst traffic day of the week, regardless where you're at. Tuesdays were the worst.
Yeah, I hear that, but I don't know that I really noticed it. I maybe just didn't pay attention on Tuesdays. I do know that, like, Tuesday at, like, 2:30 in the afternoon is the best time to go to Costco for some reason. But traffic-wise, yeah, I don't know. I guess it could be.
Well, most people that take off days take off Mondays and Fridays, but Tuesday is, like, usually no one takes off Tuesday, so in my 30 years of driving to work, Sterling Heights and Warren, Tuesday was probably 25% more traffic for some reason.
Oh, I believe it. And that, yeah, that definitely makes sense.
And I am here, WAEAP.
KDA-BSI.
WD8KLO on the mobile.
KDA-KGO.
Good afternoon, Tom. NAWRO.
Aren't you at the Wilbur Dream Cruise today, or on the way to tomorrow?
No, that's just Wally and Dave, and then some of our guys and some friends of APRSC, I guess. I think they had set a total of 8 total.
Oh, okay, so they only needed 8 volunteers?
No, that's how many total that were raised that volunteered. They would have took as many that wanted to go.
Oh, I thought you were one of those willing for. I thought you were one of the ones that were going, but I forgot that you had an event tomorrow too, like me.
Hey, I got a family member that's having an anniversary, 35th, I think it is. I have to look again, but during the daytime, I'm kind of available tomorrow, so I'm going to be monitoring. Hey, did you get that code plug in your radio? Not that it matters, if you know, but out of curiosity. It took me a while to get it in mind, but I still need to test it, but it may not happen tomorrow.
Which one? I just did my 9600 code plug. I've added some stuff into it, and then I had my UV380, I updated a code plug in that.
I emailed you that one, is it, what's it called, the 205 that they gave us from Oakland County. You know, I know you're not going, but, you know, at one point, I guess it might be nice to have Oakland County's in our DMR radios.
Isn't it just 4 stations?
It's a total of 8 lines if you want to use both, you know, like Event 1 and Event 2. But then there's a Simplex DMR, which is new to me, Simplex DMR. And they got 2 time slots on that, I guess. two different frequencies because it's simplex. And then they got their regular 63 ARPSC1 receiver in Pontiac, and then two. So there should be a total of eight that you could add to your radio at some point. I mean, again, we're not going, so it doesn't really matter. But the one that's the primary that they're using that'll be deployed in Berkeley is 63 Event 1 444.45.
Did you send it to my Gmail or did you send it to my AT&T? I forgot which one I put in, QRZ.
It went to your AT&T one yesterday. I can send it elsewhere if you'd like.
Give me a minute to check it because my AT&T's got like 8 billion emails in there that I've been trying to... So I've been sitting here this morning as I did. I went to Oakland County and got the DMRs, but I didn't realize that there's 8 of them. All I got was 1, 2, and... But
and then I was on their net last night, so they're going to fire up, they're going to move it to Berkeley and fire up the repeater. In fact, I think it should be on right about now, so I might go ahead and see if we can, I don't know. It's not that, I don't know if it's going to transmit that far. We'll have to see. I know we can't transmit there, but we might be able to hear it. Check it out.
Yeah, if you want to send it to my, Gmail, that way I don't have to... Oh, wait, you said you sent it yesterday? Let me take a look.
Yeah, I got it queued up right now, and I'm happy to forward it to wherever, but, yeah, not over the air. We'll figure something out, Tom. What do you want to do?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll log in. Okay. I don't know why this thing likes to drop out every so often. Okay, I think I got it.
All right, sounds good. And I sent that document about the fall set approaching on the first Saturday of October as well. That's coming up. And then the PL tone for Traverse City apparently is 107.2. I got that in there as well in case you... Your travels take you up north there.
All I got to do is see if it prints.
All righty. Sounds good. And if it's up to you, but if you want to send me your primary email using my iCloud address, that would be fine, and I'll switch it in here. However you want to do it, Tom, it's fine.
Yeah, I should have your personal cell on my phone. Give me a second.
Yeah, if you reply to that one, it's the iCloud is better for me, not the Comcast. But I kind of get either, but iCloud is more reliable.
I got like 7 different emails, so I rotate around all of them. It all depends on what I'm doing and who I want to know what.
Yeah, that's the way we have to, I think we all do. That's kind of the way we have to do it. In fact, not to mention the fact, we got another one, WinLink. We got our WinLink email. And Aaron sent me something a while back last month about doing improvements on his gateway. And darn if I didn't ignore my WinLink for a while, so I just replied back. Hey, today I'm supposed to be getting that, what is it called, AIOC cable thing, the adapter for the Kenwood Bofangs. So I'm going to try that as well in the coming days, see if I get as good success as you did.
Well, that works.
Well, all right, Tom, I know you got a family thing going on, but I told Dave if something is needed, I'm available. So what about you? If it gets something happens, which it won't, but if it does, and are you available if I need you?
Yeah,
It's just going to be day shift on Saturday while they're basically out of town. And Mike apparently has got a cert detail down in Warren, so he's unavailable too. Not really needed, but I told him if something actually did happen of an emergency nature, I'm available. So.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah, the wedding is in Grand Blanc, so that's going to be a trip and a half to get out there, and I forgot what time it starts, but I know it's early enough that we got to, you know, get out of here and then make sure the dogs are taken care of and dressed and all that other stuff.
Oh, no, I got my days mixed up. That's the wedding that's out of town. Disregard. Yeah, you're all set. So, yeah, nothing. Yeah, I looked at the weather, too. The weather's going to be fine, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's in Grand Blanc, so, you know, my mother-in-law was supposed to be going, but unfortunately she's not physically able to, so it's just my wife and I, and we're going to be there, you know, it's going to take a while to get over there, and then we're going to be there all day.
Sounds good. Family weddings are usually always fun.
It's my wife's first cousin. Scratch that. It's her first cousin's kid, or her second cousin, or her first cousin once removed, however you do that.
Oh, yeah, once you get into that once or twice removed stuff, I never get it. I learn it, and then I totally forget how it's calculated again. So. All right, Tom, sounds good. I'll let you go then. Have a good day. NAWRO, after you.
Sounds like a plan. Trying to enjoy the day. I'm just trying to... I'm going to put these ARPS frequencies in there, then I think I'm set on that aspect. So I will chat at you later. 73 NAWRO from KCH.
WAEAP.
What's going on, Eric? KCH Mobile.
I just got some gas, 297 at Circle K. I'm at Dragon. Got some gas.
Alrighty. Yeah, I'm on a Costco run. Probably eat lunch first and then do the shopping after.
Probably having Subway or Jimmy John's for lunch, I think. Anywho, so have you tried the that app yet? See if it's back online. Sorry, didn't get that. My other band kicked on. There's a lot of GMRS activity around here, so I didn't hear that.
Oh, I haven't tried. It's hard to do while I'm driving because I got to type in a password and don't want to get in an accident.
Yeah, gas is $2.99 in Utica. It's like $3.39 by my house. It's crazy. It's only like 2 miles from here.
I'll let you know what it is at Costco. They say in the app, but once again, I don't want to open my app while I'm driving. It's crazy on Hall Road.
I used to have that Gas Buddy app, but it screwed me over a few times. It wasn't updated enough, and I drove a little bit out of my way to save some money, and then it was wrong, so I quit using it. But, yeah, if it's only a couple cents here or there, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. I have a small gas tank, but when it's like 20, 30, 40, 50 cents cheaper, then yeah, I'll go a mile out of my way to save that, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think it's worth it if you drive a lot and you got to get gas regularly. I think I only go to the gas station like once a month, and the tank is only like, every time I fill it up, it's only filling up like 12 gallons. I usually fill it when it gets to a quarter. And so yeah, it's not worth it for me, but like my wife, who's going back and forth to work all the time, she could benefit from, you know, using Costco or Kroger or whatever. I mean, we usually go to Kroger because they have like twice a month they have like a dollar off a gallon.
Yeah, also if you buy your gift cards there, it's triple points, so yeah. Sue gets her gas there, and you know, usually with her grocery points, it's usually a dollar off no matter what.
Yeah, they usually will let you bank it, like, you can have 2 months of $1 off, you go twice or whatever, and so I'm usually the only one that remembers to use it, so I'm the one that uses it most of the time, but then it's like 3 cents off, I forgot what it normally is, like 3 cents off regularly, so, but if you're going grocery shopping and you need gas, it's the best time to go.
So I'm driving around in downtown Utica. I'm trying to pull out, but these people that are parked on the side of the road are like way away from the curb, and they can't see around the corner. I almost got hit like 3 times. I try to stick my nose out to see if I can go, and there's a car right there because these idiots don't know how to park. They park like 3 feet away from the curb so you can't see around the corner.
Yep, been there, done that. I thought you were going to the cruise thing. Are you still doing that?
I usually go Friday nights when I go. That's when things really get, you know, Friday night is the night before the official cruise, and that's usually a really good night to go because they still have the parking lot's open and you can still travel freely around it. I usually park at Kirby's because you can go in and use the bathroom, get something to eat or drink. But on Saturday, all that stuff's closed. Every parking lot, you know, is closed unless you have a pass or pay $10 or whatever.
KF8S. Yeah, okay. So you're going there and then going up north tomorrow. Something like that. I'm still fighting with I gotta find out what this is. I sent a strongly worded email to my HOA. I think I told you that. And I'm gonna find out what they say. Because I was thinking about putting landscaping in front this weekend, but, you know, I'm gonna try to do the least amount of work as possible. If I can get them to back off, then we'll just go that route. If they're going to press it, then I guess I have no choice, but I threatened them with a lawyer.
Oh, don't lie to me. You used AI. You used one of those AI-generated legal things. It's okay. But just letting you know, most people can see right through that. I can tell you can't fool me with AI. You could write me 2 emails, and I'll tell you exactly which one is AI. But anyhow, good luck on that. And yeah, I might go up north tonight, too. I don't know. If I don't go up north, I'm probably heading out there. All right, I'm home, so I will talk to you in a few. WADAP.
All right, talk to you later. No, I did not use AI. I used my old skills. Talk to you later, KF8S.
WD8KLL on the mobile.
Double U8FU.
WD8KLL.
There you go. There's always different ways to say it, different cadences. I used to say, a guy that used to say W. What did he say, W? We had that going as a kid for a while. Well, not all of us, but some of us.
Yeah, I was trying to be like you.
No, I think the guy that started it was Collins. W-A-C-M-C. And I forget what the story was. Somebody used to say W. Yeah, that was it. He used to enunciate it. Double U. Enunciating the double U. So, I think that was he that started that one.
Well, I guess the W is back in the 70s era, early 80s. Some guy from Texas told me that when I was DXing one day.
Oh, no, you didn't. There's probably people listening right now that are holding their head going, you didn't just get Sean going on call sign history, did you? Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't know, but he knew. I said, yeah, well, it came from my late mother. She got her license back in the 70s, so I guess that's true.
W, Polish type pronunciation, W.
Well, I'm not Polish, Macedonian, but doesn't matter.
Well, in my Polish heritage on my dad's side, that's the way I always heard it pronounced or pronunciated. The only other thing I know in Polish is how to swear, because it's usually when they swore a lot around my house. There was a lot of that language, and growing up, you heard, oh, they're swearing, that's why they're saying it. Oh, okay. That's my 2 cents, W-E-R-C-Y.
So, the way it works, try to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. But, this is pre-FCC. The airwaves were the wild, wild west. And they stepped in about 1912 and they said, we got to get a handle on this. Because this is getting crazy. People were using whatever. There's rumors that that's where ham came from. And, you know, it was just somebody's call back in the pre-call sign days. Anyhow, so they came out with a number for an area that you lived in. And they were different than they are now. Some didn't even exist. But 8 was Michigan, Ohio, and New York, which is kind of, that's changed, as we all know. But 8 followed by 2 letters, starting with AA and going through ZZ. And they said that would be all the call signs we would ever need. Well, they didn't realize. And they also didn't realize the range of ham radio. So they, all of a sudden there was an 8 AA in Canada, and it was being confused with 8 AA in Mexico and 8 AA in the United States. So they said, oh, we're going to have country codes. So in about 1926, they added a W. That's where W started, about 1926. And they just took everybody that had an 8 call. Like my call originally was issued 1912. It was 8FU. And in 26, it became W8FU. And that's pretty much the way it rock and rolled for a number of years. They learned that 2 letters wasn't going to be enough. It was growing much faster, they thought. So they went to 3. That's where you had W-A-A-B-K-A-A-C-V-Z. That'll surely be enough, right? No. And that's where they started getting into the other ones. They added K next. K came along in the, I think in the 50s. N came much later, how long, about the closer to the 70s. And the A's are still kind of just popping, you know, and they're not a full letter. We don't get all of the A's. But that's how that works. Now, if you're talking about the 2x3s, you know, like W, they started with W-A-A-A-A-A. And yes, in the 70s, they were up to about WBA. The WB8s were getting sold out in the 70s. So that may be what he meant.
You dropped out on my end here.
The only thing I could add is television stations. Everything east of the Mississippi was W, and everything west of the Mississippi was started with a K. KAB or WABC in New York, KABC in California, kind of a thing. That's about the only other thing I could think about adding. But again, television is different than radio, obviously.
Yeah, broadcast was different than ham radio, but still, I think the K's came along about the same time, because, you know, the province with all that was later, when they had to start having the K stations. And they planned on east and west of the Mississippi, but there were all sorts of exceptions to the rule. But, yes, that did follow that east and west of the Mississippi thing with the W's and the K's for the most part.
Well, I certainly appreciate the education. That was kind of cool. I did not know all of that, for sure. I'm at my destination there, Sean, so I'm going to say 73. It's a good chat with you. We're going to pick up some fresh fruit here at the local market. W-D-A-K-L-L, I'll be clear.
Okey-doke. Yeah, the W's definitely were not 70s. They were around, and they were the earliest of all prefixed calls in the 20s, but he might have been referring to the, whatever his was, WB8 or something like that, WA8, WB8, something like that. And then by the 80s, they moved into the KAA8 and KB8. So I think they went WA through WB, and then they went KA through, well, they're up to, what, KG now? What the hell are we up to these days? KF? I think KF, that's where we're at, right, Donald?
Definitely KF8s. I haven't heard anything beyond that in recent times. And that other band, they've climbed quite a bit too. They're almost into the WTs, WSGH. I think they're into WSH now, or J. I've lost track over on the other side, but yeah. Every time I try to follow things and chart things on the spreadsheet, I'm amazed at how much these things are climbing. Popularity is there, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's a lot like commercial, you know, business bands. There's really nothing exotic about the call signs. They're all cookie cutter, they're all the same, and they're just sequential. Although I understand that the earliest VMRS licenses were they 3x3s or something, or they were different, or 2x4s, I don't know. So, not that I care, but there was a change at some point. I know there's, let's see, before R, WQs, or WQs, I've heard WQs. I don't know if I've heard anything earlier than a WQ, so they must have started with it somewhere around there. Who knows? AM call signs are a little bit more all over the page, and they have all sorts of stories behind them, and they changed over the years, and they added stuff, so just because of they didn't know what they had.
'78, when I got my first GMRS, it was 3x4, KAD2660 was my call.
I don't remember when it changed. I've had a total of 4 call signs over the years. First one I remember. Same thing with my CD license. I remember the first one, and now CD licenses don't even exist, but yeah, those were 3x4s as well.
Yeah, I think I had a CB license back in the 70s, but I was a kid. I was, God, how old would I have been during that crunch? Young anyhow, and sometimes I think, I go, oh, that was what it was. K-A-N-W, something like that. I don't know. But I've had to manage so many call signs that followed that format over the years that I could just be remembering something else.
KBTR-7197. Afternoon, gentlemen. And anyway, and thanks for at least being on here so I could make an all-star contact. Name's Jeff, Juliet Echo Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Walter Ford, People's Republic of Michigan.
Well, welcome to the world of All-Star. And, Sean, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, 3981 was my original CB call sign. And when I got out of it all together, I remember them going to a 4x4 format because they ran out of 3x4 combinations or something like that. And I got my first license in 71 or 72, somewhere around when I went into the 10th grade of high school. That's when I got my first CB. So, yeah, lots changed in 50-some-odd years for sure.
Roger that. So NOE, I know your call. We've either talked or stumbled across it, or I don't know what. But I suppose it'll come to me. So you say make an all-star contact. Was that a goal, or is it a first, or is it just what's up with that? And so I don't want to necessarily say welcome, but if that's what it is, welcome. What up? What say you? Name here is Sean. W8FU.
And I just make your acquaintance, Sean. Yeah, the call sign sounds familiar. And it's been many, many, many years since I was on the FBI repeater. Got this listed as Holly, which isn't bad. My sister's there. I'm up there quite a bit. Recently back to Michigan. Been out of state. Got tired of going into work every day and told the owner exactly what I thought about him and retired. I got this note, thought I had it set up, didn't quite do what I wanted. So been tinkering and playing and a little bit of everything else to get it working. So my first contact, although I had a local guy, I think, connect to it and call, I heard him, but I couldn't get back to him for some reason. So I guess this would be my official first contact. No, I do not log UHF, VHF, unless it's CW. And voice over IP, I wouldn't log anyway. So, yeah, I remember the FBI repeater was down, I guess, Southfield somewhere. Years back, and talk about CB license. I had a CB license, then I had broadcasting license before I got my ham license. Oh, and I had my military radio license before I got my ham license. So somewhere along the line, I've counted 13 different licenses. Most of them I didn't need to remember the call. Broadcast, I just needed the station, and that was pretty easy. It was a big sign painted on the glass. John, back to you, and then I'll jump out of here, let you men carry on, and I'm just wasting time. And anyway.
All righty. Well, I don't know what kind of node hardware you got there, if you did it yourself or you bought one online, but it sounded really good. And yeah, you said the Holly, so the FBI network now is connected up most of the time to the Central Michigan network, of which Holly is a regular. So that's if you're on Holly, that would explain that. You'd be hearing the FBI stuff. And yeah, oh my God, Holly, Southfield. That's where we originally went online, at one of the RAM paging sites in Southfield. That's, man, you're going way back. And then we moved it to the top of Troy, but it was kind of like, you know, need to know basis. And we were up at the top of Troy for years. And people say, where's the repeater located? And we say, it's in Southfield. Now go away. That used to be the mantra. Well, since then it's moved to Warren, and it's joined All Star Light Half to Repeat. And there's a Richmond and a Romeo. There's a West Bloomfield out near you, 442.5, that is connected up to the FBI network. So that's an option for you, the WB8 ARC machine. And then, like I said, we're connected up almost full-time to the Central Michigan network. So, and that's all over the place, including recently, Levitron, I can't get it right. It's not Mackinac. It's called Mackinac. Up near Mackinac and then one in Traverse City. So, expanding all over the darn place. Good hearing you. Sounds really good. Look forward to talking to you again. Whatever you've done right. If you got anything else to add, I'll hang, but otherwise, W8FU.
Well, fine business. Thanks for the audio report. I used that node in Texas in Plano. And it said I was hot. I'm on a THD-75. Bought this thing for my retirement. Had a lot of fun with this HD. Don't even have a outside antenna to speak of. I got a standoff on a ADS-B antenna up there that I've got a mobile mount antenna. And I run a WinLink node, or WinLink server here. Got to get some of my stuff back. Whole lot bigger than HF. And yeah, it seems like I remember that move you were talking about, the Dearborn or wherever it was. It's about the time, I guess, I would get into the machine and got to know a couple people, and I don't even remember their names, calls, or anything anymore. I've been in Nevada for, about the last 7 years. And prior to that, I was working here at the airport, at Oakland County Airport. Owner passed away, so company closed up, and this place in Reno got a hold of me and said they need me. I was crazy enough to move to Reno, Nevada. I love the weather. Way too close to California for me. And I'm from there. I was hatched in Monterey. So, anyway, again, thanks for the report. Let me know the audio's good. I think I still got some tweaking to do and that kind of thing. Built one, bought another, and the one I'm actually on right now is the other. I got one kind of set up to run mobile or take with me out with my KX2 to play in the woods somewhere. Me and my Jeep like going out places people don't normally go and people can't find me. Me, a cold beer and a radio, usually a cigar to go with that, make me a happy camper. 7-3, guys. Have a great afternoon. Looks like it's going to be decent today, I hope. Not too humid. And I know that Dream Cruise starts tomorrow, so if you're going to that, enjoy it. And in Illinois, 7-3.
All right, real good. Well, welcome back, and we'll talk to you later. Oh, by the way, the call used to be WX8L, so we've been gone that long. It was WX8L. It was that for decades. So, all right. Catch you later. W8FU.
W8RCY, thank you for the history lesson. Wow, that's some history there for sure. Everybody have a good afternoon. W8RCY.
Yeah, them are the good old days, man, back when everything was commercial radio. There wasn't any of this connecting and linking and all that. So, well, we did some linking, but it was all RF and analog voting and stuff like that. But, yeah, we were in Southfield, and then we moved to Top of Troy. And both those were RAM sites, RAM, if you remember RAM paging. And my partner in crime at the time, I forget what his extra call is. It was NHLDL. La, la, la. We would put things up in the RAM sites. I worked with him at several LMR shops. So we'd work together, and then we'd work separately together all over the years. And he left, we were working at the same place, and then he went to work for RAM. And so he and I worked, that's when he and I started put up the repeater. All good memories.
The only thing I recall with RAM Communications was their pager systems. Back when I got into GMRS, again, 78, TRA Communications, Chris Deluge, those people. So, okie dokie. Well, I'll let you finish up your day. I'll message you later on this evening on whether or not I'm going to be at breakfast in the morning. We might be changing our plans, Joe and I. So I'll send you a text. Just look for it, whether or not I'll be at breakfast in the morning. Have a good afternoon, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
W-A-T-E-T-E-S-K-G-O.
I was at the Amarita Fair walking around looking for you yesterday. Yeah, last evening.
Yeah, we were only there on Wednesday to watch one of my adopted kids run the derby.
That was last night, right? That's when I was there. No, today's Friday. Yeah, there was a derby last night, too. It was like a circle track type thing.
Yeah, that's the,
You seem to have disappeared.
Radio.
I got two words there, buddy.
My battery is dying on my other radio.
All right, I'll have to talk later. Sorry about that. W8BD. I'm on Sinclair Drive anyways, heading home.
W-D-8-K-O-L in the mobile.
W-8-D-D mobile. Riding around a truck or something. Yo.
Try again, WZ.
TAK Joe, I see you're riding around. Golf cart?
Negative, I'm in my big truck. I'm going to get some diesel fuel. Truck is low on fuel and I want to have enough for tomorrow. I'm going to run over to TJ.
Grand.
have fun with that. Hope it goes well. And I'm kind of looking forward to this. It seems kind of fun to be engaged a little bit. It's been a minute.
Yeah, if it was a different thing besides this, I'd probably take a ride and go home.
Yeah, I got a little puppy up there. Hope they let me use it. So that'll be good. I think I'll wash the truck, too. Maybe I'll go to a car wash. So she looks clean.
Well, there you go, Melissa. I'll wash the truck tomorrow. Apparently, I have a leaky, not like radio antenna. So that bed seals up. I just got to let it dry and go wash it tomorrow.
There you go. You at home on your handy talkie?
Yeah, I'm my Elenco. I'm just giving it a run and see how it does. I put new batteries in it. This one you can only program by front panel. So.
What do you hit, the Richmond machine?
But I'm sitting at the kitchen table, so probably why it sounds a little staticky. Got the air conditioning running.
We gotta get you a hot spot. It's a lot less work than an antenna.
I can believe it. How it goes. I'm just saving up money right now. More toys.
There you go. Well, poor winter sets in. Let's make your next toy a hotspot. I'll help build it. All you really need is make brown on those little bitty dongles from Amazon, but they work okay. And I've got one, and again, they're okay, and I'm happy.
Sounds like a plan. I gotta give you back that one antenna.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that when I get my other radio, when it shows up. So, I did talk to the other guy the other day, so it's been about a month. So, hopefully she shows up.
W8RCY with a quick comment.
Yes.
Tom, you're on vacation. Get off the radio. Good afternoon, Tom. Good to hear you. Dr. Wally, I just want to wish you all the best of luck tomorrow. Everything goes well and everything goes smooth with all the radios and the operations that you're going to be using tomorrow during the Dream Cruise. I'll be out there tonight. I'm going to do a couple laps with the girlfriend and her parents. And then I'm going to probably most likely be either in Chesterfield for the remainder of the weekend. So that's the plan. We're not finalized yet. But I just call to wish you all the best tomorrow. Hope the radios, the systems, the networks, whatever frequencies you're going to be on, I just hope it all works smoothly for you.
I think it shall. They got their own stuff. There's supposed to be some repeater nearby, digital, that they're going to use. And then they got a whole bunch of backups, including analogs. And we set up a couple 3 GMRS frequencies as backup and for our non-Hammy members that so we can chat back and forth with Dave and I and Mike and all the other guys that are going to be there, and girls.
Well, I copy that, but like I say, I remember this has been an effort, and you've been programming a lot of radios right now. You've been programming everybody's radios but mine. Mine only need a couple frequencies updated between now and the dead of winter, so it's no big deal when we get around to mine.
But, yeah, I just like to say, I know you're putting in the effort, and I hope the effort pays off in a positive way, and there's no flaws, no glitches or anything. So I'm just wishing you good luck.
Thank you. I'm not worried about the radio part of it. I'm worried about the heat part of it, the people part of it, the relationship part of it, you know, all the other stuff. I think we got the radio thing down pretty good. Yeah, just get your radio to Shawnee or something, and I'll get it handled. If you're going to the breakfast club tomorrow, I'll just give him one of them, and yours is pretty easy to fix.
Well, with all that's on my agenda, well, between now and the end of September, and the end of September being my birthday, last time in the 60s, last go-around in the 60s, damn, I'm old. I probably won't get these radios to you until probably the first part of October, and again, there's no rush, no hurry. Everybody's been busy. I'm going to be busy. I got at least two more races to do between now and mid-October, so that's a couple weekends I won't be around. But, yeah, I'll still eventually get done, but like I said, this call is just to hope everything goes well and smooth and all your efforts truly pay off and be a feather in your cap.
I like feathers. Yeah, that's all I, you know, more about personals. Yes, I did it, so that'll be good. What did they say? What did Sean say? I get the T-shirt. I don't know if I get a T-shirt. I know I'm going to get a shiny yellow vest. Probably have to give it back, though.
One to keep. I got one.
Oh, I got boatloads of them, too. They're in my freaking fire bags. I can just grab them out of there, but I think they got some. I think they even got some shirts. I don't know what they say on them, but I want to make sure they don't say anything that's not affiliated with anything.
I have ball caps for racing from sponsorships, changed sponsors, some of them autographed. But, yeah, there are any ball caps. I got ball caps to keep the sun off the top of the head there. I've got caps going back into the 90s. But anyways, I'll let you and Tom get back to it. And I think that was Sean I heard pop in there mentioning Scott Vest. So I'll let you get back to it and rest up. It's going to be a long, hot day. That's part of the reason why I won't be out there tomorrow. That 90-degree heat humidity is going to be tough. So be safe. All the best. W8RCY.
Go ahead, Sean. I didn't hear you. Sorry. I know what I was going to say, Don. I saw the real race yesterday, big time. I thought I was at NASCAR. I went to their Armada Fair.
The big cars?
The big car race, the Armada Fair yesterday.
The race or the demolition derby?
It was actually a race. They had them pretty tight, so they couldn't get going very fast. Basically, they were all inside, so they were 3/4 of a football field and big things in the center, but definitely jalopy cars. And it was kind of fun. Some of those guys can drive pretty good considering what they were up against, but no demolition.
Yeah, well, I remember in the early 70s there were the Baltimore Trade Center is out there in Mount Clemens, used to be Mount Clemens Raceway, and they had demolition derby figure eight race being all kinds of stuff. So, yeah. Grassroots at its finest. All right, I got to go because I got to get ready for this evening, so everybody have a great one. W8RCY.
Oh, Tom, you were perfectly doubled, but he had a better signal than you, so I heard him and not you.
Was the funky on the back. If Rick runs back,
diamond plated and those motors alone, the motors in the transit are probably about $10,000 to $15,000.
It cost $15,000, dude. I'm gonna have to let you go. I had a hard time carrying a cube like this. We're gonna get you a hotspot. We're gonna make it work so we can hear you. And then you can be perfect. No, WHTV perfect signal. Chat later, dude. WHTV from WHTV.
Okay, that changes it a little bit. I was going to see if my ticket went up here, but... this one I've got in the work van here, but I'd like to have another one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like my Elenco. I got that, and I got a couple.
Kind of been partial to my icon, but I've got a little bit of everything here, so, yeah, I'm not,
guys are listening. I found those rabbits you're talking about.
Makes you wonder if it's becoming mainstream or if there's actually something listening and pumping ads and feeds into whatever you've got.
Oh, there's been more than one strange occurrence with that. I was talking to my brother one day about generators, and then all of a sudden the YouTube feed's full of videos about generators.
Yeah, it's a little unnerving. I've had emails come through for orders, and then, you know, I jump on Facebook or YouTube, and then there they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little more easier to see where you get cookies or whatever and things on the same device, but, you know, real world conversations all of a sudden start showing up in your algorithms.
Especially when we're talking on analog radios.
Yeah, that was face to face.
Sadly, I don't think there's any getting away from it, even if, I really don't know. I don't think anyone really knows except for the people that are doing it, but I don't know what these phones are doing when they're powered off, when they're in a Faraday bag. I mean, who knows?
Oh, they're not doing anything. They wouldn't do anything like that.
No, never. They give you that false sense of security when your microphone's in use. You get the little orange icon. Or if your camera's in use, it's green. But everyone knows that's just software, and they can make software do whatever they want.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with that. Like, why couldn't you put that in series so there's no way to fake it?
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Like, I've been seeing laptops now for the webcams. Like, I've got a gaming laptop, so it doesn't have a shutter on a webcam, but it's got a physical switch on the side of it to supposedly turn it off. So without actually taking that thing apart and putting a multimeter on it, is it actually off?
Yeah, is it actually connected to anything? Or is that kind of the same thing where it's all software?
That's what I mean. I like to tell myself so I sleep at night that, you know, there's more paranoid people out there that have ripped these things apart and tested these theories, and I imagine the issues would have come to light by now, but who knows?
Yeah, they usually tear down everything and at least get anything high-end just to see what's in there. I know my work laptop has like a physical little slider that blocks the camera.
Yeah, those I trust because I can actually see it's working. But, well, I mean, who knows? Maybe they have some kind of digital cover that turns itself on and off. I don't know. I don't really care. I don't have anything to hide, but it is frustrating that there's zero privacy anymore for anything.
Yeah, that's most of the time we don't even use the webcam, so we don't even need it. it's very rare that we do Teams calls where anybody turns the camera on.
I kind of miss those days. Everything I do now is in person, so there's no hiding. So what did you find with the rabbits with the tentacles on their face?
It was just a video showing them, and some sort of virus spread by mosquitoes or ticks. So, and I didn't watch the whole thing. The algorithm listening, you know.
I didn't dig too far into it either, but it is bizarre. I've never seen a growth like that on an animal. But it does make me wonder how long until they're popping up around Michigan, because there's plenty of whitetails, or not whitetails, Jesus, cottontails.
Oh yeah, they're all over my yard. I usually get, it's almost a daily occurrence, I see a rabbit.
They do a number on the landscaping. DNR named them last year, no, 2 years, yeah, last year or the year before. They named them a nuisance animal, so they're right up there with raccoons and woodchucks and squirrels and all that stuff.
Well, unfortunately, the only landscaping I have is weeds, so I haven't done anything with it. I got these giant flower beds in front of my house, but I don't know what to do with them, so every couple months I spray them for weeds.
That's kind of my strategy right now. I still don't have the yard put in. Just kind of strategically waiting for the fall to get the seed down, and then conveniently enough, September 1st is when goose season opens. And I just so happen to have a ton of geese that want to keep coming in my yard, and I know I'm going to have even more when there's grass seed to eat, so hopefully I can thin that out pretty quick.
Yeah, I've got some areas I need to overseed. There was a big garden in behind the house, and I tore that out last year and reseeded that, and that is just thick, beautiful grass, and everything else is kind of thin, weedy, garbage grass, so need to get some overseeding done, and got to get rid of the weeds, too, and just kind of you throw a weed killer down, then you can't seed, and you throw pre-emergent down, then you can't seed, and just kind of really fighting a losing battle, but I got some areas that just are saturated. Any kind of rains, it just gets swampy.
My old house, I did overseeding in the fall, and it turned out pretty darn good, and then again in the spring. My only suggestion is if you've got some weeds, to throw down some weed and feed while you're at it.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. They got such a large yard, it's a $200 venture to do any fertilizing. So, I did fertilizer and pre-emergent at the beginning of the year and haven't touched it since.
Yeah, I hear you. I just spent about $1,000 at the elevator for fertilizer and grass seed to do my yard. And then I'm hoping I can cut that cost by at least half in the spring. But I don't know. First couple years of a yard, I have a feeling it's going to be every year kind of deal where I got to fertilize and oversee in the spring and the fall until it's good and healthy.
If you get Kentucky bluegrass in there, it'll start spreading and it'll self-heal. But my old house was an entirely Kentucky bluegrass lawn, and that stuff would just, I was constantly pulling grass out of flower beds. It just would find its way in there, and it just, that was a nightmare. But I don't know. I'm not even buying the good stuff. I'm buying the Menards brand, and it's, six of the large bags. And, I'm looking at doing liquid, but it seems like it might be cheaper, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know there's people that get real particular about what grass they have, and is it all the same grass, and yeah, I mean, it looks great, but I don't have a small lot that I can manicure and maintain effectively. So my whole school thought is if it's green and healthy and I can cut it, that's pretty much all. That's my criteria. I don't care if it's clover.
Yeah, the guy that owned it before us was a doctor and had more money than sense, and they had hydro seeded when they built the house, and I guess like the year before they sold it, he tore all the grass out and re-sodded it with Kentucky bluegrass, and then he got busted for kiddie porn.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like a very smart guy then.
Yep, he was not. There was a lot of things that just were just odd with that house. Where just he had more money than sense.
I got a quote to hydro seed my yard, and I laughed the guy off of my property because he told me it was going to be $20,000 to $30,000.
Yeah, that's not cheap. I haven't had to do a lawn from fresh, so I'm not sure how bad that would be. Sounds like a pretty penny.
I don't know if that's a standard going rate kind of deal, but yeah, I'm gonna pass on that. I can feed it myself and not spend anywhere near that. So that's what we're doing. Probably gonna do it. Well, I don't know. It's supposed to cool down a little bit next week and rain, so I might do it this weekend.
Yeah, my problem with my secondary problem with seeding is I can't really irrigate because my well is a saltwater well, so not very good to be throwing salt on germinating seeds.
I have never heard of that. So how does the water situation work for drinking and whatnot? I imagine you don't have any issues with rust.
Well, it destroys everything, so, yeah, it's rough on all the seals and all the appliances. I had just had to do a washer because the hub had corroded away from the motor, and was washing clothes, and just the whole drum separated from the motor because of the corrosion. And yeah, as far as drinking, I've got a reverse osmosis, which brings it to barely drinkable if it's a good day. So pretty much use that for cooking and making coffee. But as far as straight drinking water, I've started just buying like those 2-gallon jugs of water and throw it in the fridge.
NADDF, I had no idea that saltwater wells existed. That's unfortunate. I didn't mean to say rust either. I meant iron. But yeah, salt and metal don't get along. But our old house is a similar situation. We had to buy gallons of water every week. It was a big pain. So now we have Culligan. It's like $65 a month. We rent the equipment. Hardly go through any salt, which is ironic because you probably don't need to do any softening. And, yeah, that's a bummer. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, actually, I have very hard water. It's like 21 grains or whatever, however they measure that. And then there's 2 counts of iron. So, yeah, I actually get both of those, but that's part of the issue too. Is, you know, the softener regenerates, but it's sending salt water through it, so it's almost constantly regenerating itself. But I did put a softener in. I just got one of the cheap ones from Menards and put it in myself, and that I could tell a difference immediately when I put it in. So I know it's doing something, but it's not ideal because, yeah, it's constantly kind of cleaning itself when you're using it. But it's not, you know, when it does its regen, it's a much more concentrated salt water. So when I had a company out here to figure out what to do with the water, they said, you know, you can try a softener, it may or may not work. It all depends. So I put one in, and it seems to be working.
I'm assuming the ultimate solution is some kind of extremely expensive, elaborate water softening system.
No, that wouldn't even help. It's you need reverse osmosis or distillation. So that's the only way to get rid of the salt. But, yeah, this area is pretty known for having salt water, I guess. I know everybody down the street has salt water wells, so it's one of the downsides. I finally decided to stop getting city water and go to a well, and end up getting a salt well.
That's something I had no idea about. It didn't even cross my mind when we were house shopping, so I'm going to keep that in my back pocket if we ever move.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. You know, when they did the inspection, I had them test the water, and they test for arsenic and all the bad stuff, and didn't even think about the salt. And I was looking at the house, before I got in the house, I looked at the, I had found the well drilling record on the Eagle website, and they mentioned on there it was slight salt. I just was like, oh, it must be just when they drill it, you know, and didn't even think that, oh, that's an always problem.
Yeah, I'm going to hang on to that. That's kind of blows my mind. So what is it? You guys are just, there's a giant salt deposit that, is it above the water table or below the water table? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, at some point the water goes through, the aquifer goes through a salt deposit, and I guess, you know, early on in this area there used to be a salt farm or whatever where they would pump the salt out of the ground and get the water out of it and, you know, smelt the salt. But yeah, it's common in this area, I guess. But yeah, I didn't even think about it until it was my problem.
The joys of home ownership, there's always something to deal with. But I missed a call, so I'm going to jump off here. It was good talking to you, but I'm going to give this guy a call back here. So if I don't talk to you, have a good weekend, and maybe I'll catch you next week if I don't. I'll be clear after yours. I'm 8DDF.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out why the arsenic and stuff passed, and he still had a reverse osmosis system in the house, and it was for the salt. So. But alrighty, we'll say 7-3 at CABY.
WAZIJKADD, Marine Mobile. This is Kilo 8 Echo Delta, Marine Mobile, standing by. This is K8 Echo Delta, Marine Mobile, standing by. WAZIJKADD, Marine Mobile.
Okay, Mark, can you hear me? I'm talking from my living room. Can you copy okay?
It's like you're right here.
Hey, you sound good. I mean, you're crystal clear. Over.
Yeah, you too. I was just curious to know is where the repeater's located.
I believe it's on Orchard Lake. Orchard Lake near Pontiac Trail.
Oh, okay. Is this repeater Phil's ABAPR?
Yes, it is, and it's also linked to, I think three other repeaters, or two other repeaters. I'm trying to go through my mind. I think two other repeaters. Possibly three, but I could be wrong. Back to you.
Very good, Greg. Yeah, I'm KADD. Yeah, I wasn't too familiar. It's been a long time since I changed a PL on here on this handheld, and I couldn't remember how, but I figured it out while I was here on the water later in the afternoon. So glad that I got you back, because I've been calling you even just moments ago on other repeaters, just in case you were listening on those. So beautiful day. I just love it. This morning, I couldn't believe how crystal, it was like a sea of glass, the lake. There was no wind at all, and I could barely see a ripple. But now it's different. It's a little more breezier. So, also, there's been a blimp up ahead. I guess this is that for the Dream Cruise? Nice size blimp, like a Goodyear blimp, or maybe close to the size of the Hindenburg. Over.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, I have no idea. Can you read anything on that blimp? I kind of chuckled when you said Hindenburg, but that was a tragic crash, but I didn't mean to laugh at that, but I was just laughing at the comparison, because Hindenburg was very, very long. It's not like a Goodyear blimp, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's about the size of a Goodyear blimp. I remember seeing these airships years ago in the late, like in the 50s. a lot of them, but they were smaller, and especially around Willow Run. Yeah, I remember back then it was kind of common to see W-A-V-I-J-K-8-E-D.
Yeah, very good. I don't know if it's anything of a dream cruise. That would be the first. I didn't. Where is it? Okay, so where is that blimp at right now? So it must be over where you're at, because I don't know if I could see it from my place. But I don't know. I didn't see anything in the sky today. Of course, I haven't been out there looking at the sky. I was outside a lot today, for sure, looking in my yard. Cutting the grass and doing a couple other odds and ends, over.
Yes, okay, very good. Yeah, it was north of here, actually, and I did see it this morning. It just barely went over the lake along the tree line on the shore, and I was surprised. I turned my head a little, and there it was, real large. Pretty low, too. I don't know. Let's see. It was north of here, and it was headed to the west. So maybe it was going towards Pontiac, maybe. So, by the way, speaking of the Hindenburg, I just got a QSL card over a week ago commemorating the anniversary of that tragic event. I think it was 1938. I worked this special event station maybe a couple, can't remember how long, maybe a few months ago, commemorating the anniversary, and I had just gotten a QSL recently with the photo of the Hindenburg, so it's one of my, I put it in a special event section of a photo album, W-A-V-I-J-K-8-E-D.
Yeah, this is W-A-T-I-G. Yeah, very good, Mark. And hopefully I'm still in there. I'm trying to maintain a hotspot here because I know it's kind of iffy here in this living room, but if I went in the bedroom, it would be different. If I'm in the bedroom, I'll be on my base, but I'm in the living room. So, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything in comparison to the Hindenburg at all. But, did you see any information on that blimp? Was it like an LED type thing or something on it in regards to what it was or is or whatever it is? But I don't. It'd be the first time I've ever seen anything around the time of the Dream Cruise. Over.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Yeah. No, I didn't see anything written on it. But yesterday, coming outside of a restaurant around 6, close to 6, there was an airplane pulling an advertising-type sign that we spotted. So I figured that was for the Dream Cruise. This was where we were at around Crooks, around close to Square Lake. Anyways, I guess that's about it here. I'm trying to think of something else. But I'm sort of in the middle of the lake all by myself. I got the whole lake to myself, so I don't see any water craft out here. W-A-V-I-J-K-8-E-D, Murray Mobile.
Yeah, very good, Mark. Are you working the Dream Cruise? I know you work with the county. So are you going to be there on the Dream Cruise tomorrow?
I'm not sure. I may be. It depends. Yeah, and I have been working that for years with the ARPSC group, but I don't plan by being here. It depends on when I can get away. So I wonder if you'll be out there.
Well, Nada, my daughter who lives in Ferndale asked us if we could come over. But we have, I don't know, it's a time constraint because we have to be at our church to do some, they have a fair there to do some cleanup afterwards, and I think it's at 3 o'clock, so it might have been, might pose a problem. I don't know what time that dream cruise starts. It's been a couple of years since I've been to one. I got a daughter that lives in Berkeley and the one in Ferndale, which is, I mean, we could walk to Woodward either way. And I got one that lives on Catalpa, and the other one lives down there in Ferndale, just on the other side of the, I think it's the zoo, isn't that correct, Jerry? Detroit? 9 Mile, over.
Okay, very good, yeah. Actually, I live walking distance, just north in Royal Oak on north of 12 Mile, and just west of Crooks on Vincetta. That's where I live, and of course I come out here almost half the time now. The couple that live at this house that I house at, they're up north. They have a condo they bought up during the pandemic to get away from highly populated area. So they go up there often, and I'm here when they're gone. So I'm going to head back. The wind is blowing me further away. So when I get back to the house, I got to feed the cat. WAVIJ, KADD, Murray Mobile.
Okay, very good, Mark. Do you like the cat? I have a cat, and I love her. I love cats. Over.
Yes, I do too. We got something in common. Beautiful cat, very affectionate, and a delight to be with. And she likes to. I bring my radio with me. I set up a 7300 on the dining room table and put up a 53 and fed long wire up to a willow tree by the shoreline. So I always get on the air when I house it, and if nobody can accommodate that, I don't house it there. So, okay, I'll say 73. I'm going to head back before I get too far away because I'm not paddling when I talk. WAVIJ, we'll catch you later. KADD, Murray Mobile.
Okay, Mark, I just wondered maybe real quick if you work 40 meters. Might be able to talk to you on 40 meters at nighttime. 7-3, and, well, you need a little wind sail, pocket-sized wind sail, so you can, it wouldn't work any good unless you have a rudder. 7-3, WAVIJ.
Okay, have a great evening there, Greg. God bless. KADD, Murray Mobile, clear.
NAPMB.
Yeah, go ahead, station.
Good afternoon. Name here is Dennis. Haven't been on the radio in a while. Just plugged in the FTM 350, seeing how it's working. Mind giving me a radio check?
Yeah, it sounds good, Dennis. Nice to meet you. I don't know if we've ever talked before. Called Whiskey 8 Victor Indian Juliet. I'm in the southwest corner. Southwest corner of Waterford Township. Over.
Roger that. I'm out here around the 18 of Van Dyke area, Sterling Heights.
Well, you're making a trip there, Dennis, and everything is working good for you. I have to drop out of here real quick, and I don't want to cut you off, but I was glad I was able to answer you, so I'll listen to your final, and look forward to the next time, Dennis. Glad you're back on the air. Over.
Roger that. Thank you for the radio check. I appreciate it. Took me about an hour to get this thing wired, so glad it's working. Have a good evening. Maybe we'll catch you around the dial sometime. Any BMD? Yeah, any BMD, WAVIJ, and stay radioactive, WAVIJ. WAVIJ.
Okay. Here's the frequency to use. This is W8 Bravo Papa Alpha. Okay, this is W8 Bravo Papa Alpha with a group of friends. We are here for the Wayne County repeater crawl exercise. WSHU, Matt, how copy?
WSHU, this one's a 599. Did you hear that NAKD at all? And what did I get? What did you hear me on the WOAK? Was I as weak into it as I was hearing it, or was I stronger into it back at WSHU?
I heard you, and you gave me 2 over 3 reports. And I heard you 5-9. QSL?
QSL, did you hear anything from the AKD? I didn't hear it. Normally it sounds like it's like right next door, even out here in Ann Arbor. So I think it's off there.
No, I didn't hear anything but you. Here on this repeater, you're 5-9, almost full quieting. How copy, me?
You're 5-9, WSHU.
You told me that. I'm sorry. Okay, K8, SJW, Ken, are you with us here?
You are 5-9.
Thank you, Ken. I would say you're 5-8, but the signal is pretty good, workable, 100%. It would be better if you say your call sign next time, okay? K8BZJ, Mo, are you with us? I'll copy W8BTA.
At WABTA, this is K8BZJ. I've got you to 5-9.
Hey Mo, thank you. 5-9 as well. Okay, let's go to the next repeater. But first, I'm going to ask, is there anybody else who would be willing to join us for the next stop, which is K8PLW, Livonia, 442.7. With the, I should reprogram my radio to 2PL.
Y'all are 5-9 to me because you're coming in through the repeater.
What's your call sign?
None of your damn business.
Okay, guys, let's jump to the Livonia repeater. 442.7 with PL107.2.
K8RUH. K8RUH.
KEZAT monitoring.
KFA-DRC and 8WJ-Z600.
KFA-DRC, go ahead.
Yeah, I got you good over here, Jack. Yeah, I thought you were going to go over the GMRS side there, but I got you over here. No problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, Roger. I was out there and nothing happening. I don't know. Maybe it's not that. It's not a good time right now. Maybe a little bit more at night.
Okay, so you couldn't bring it up at all? Couldn't do nothing over there, huh?
I was on watch, and then nothing happened. I couldn't get the repeater going.
Okay, yeah, I brought it up over here, so I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, maybe the the way the Detroit 818 is, though, it's full scale, and this the system's almost full scaled also down this way, so it's definitely happening tonight, that's for sure. Probably a good weekend, that's for sure.
We can try maybe 11, 12 o'clock and about 11:30, I can try that one and find out if it's open.
Yeah, we could try that. So, anywho, Jack, I'll let you go then. You have a great evening, and I'll be listening out. And thanks for coming back. I'll be out there listening somewhere. N8WJZ73.
All right, Dan, good talking to you. Take care. Have a good evening. We'll try about 10:30, 11 o'clock. I would say about 11:30 is fine, no problem. I usually go to sleep about 12 o'clock. Talk to you later. KF8-DRC.
KE8-ZAP. KE8-ZAP, test. 1-2. KEAZAT monitoring.
IAJ.